Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm just trying to find some sense in a world gone mad, and that's why I'm here, Bob.
Help me, please. Well, welcome, Doug, to Bob Enyart Live, and on the internet, we're at KGOV, KGOV.com.
Where we go worldwide.
And we're at the 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT.
The Christian blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West.
Way more powerful than that weaker station up the dial
up
at
the dial.
850.
Yeah.
The Rush affiliate.
Yes.
So it's exciting to be here, and we've got news. Doug McBurney, the fact that Greg Jackson has at the top of his blog, top story.
He's the author, by the way, is he not, of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies?
Best-selling book.
Phenomenal.
He's the guy who introduced the presidential candidates at CPAC 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
CPAC, what does CPAC stand for?
Nothing that I can think of.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. Yeah. It's the Conservative Political Action Group.
Oh, yeah.
But Greg is a true conservative.
Big
and
time.
By the way, there's a movement afoot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, the draft Greg Jackson for Colorado governor movement is on.
I saw that in the blogs, and that's pretty interesting. Most people don't know that Greg Jackson is in Denver.
That's right.
He now lives here.
He arrived under cover of darkness, but he is here.
Power broker Greg Jackson, and that's with two G's.
Greg Jackson. And people could go, if they wanted to order the book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies, they could go to gregjackson.com.
With two G's.
Greg,
so
with two G's.
G-G-R-E-G.
No, G-R-E-G-G.
Oh, G-G-R-E-G.
No.
Two G's.
Two G's at the end of Greg.
Oh, at the end of Greg.
Go to gregjackson.com or Google Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies if you went to public school and you can't figure out how to spell his name.
Here's why I like the top story, the
it's
homepage
awesome.
Story at
it's
Greg
incredible.
Jackson's blog. Neither of the top two leading GOP, Republican, GLOP, 2012 presidential candidates are pro-life. Mitt Romney's record is here. And you click
here,
on here,
right. Uh-huh.
And Sarah Palin's record is here, and you click here, and you get both of their records, and they're not pro-life.
Bob, your prediction,
your
prophecy is coming true.
What prophecy?
That from here on out.
It wasn't an inspired prophecy,
not
whatever
an inspired
it was.
Prophecy, but
just a prediction.
You said when Pro-Life Profiles launched that no longer
would Mitt Romney get the lion's share of the evangelical endorsements that he's enjoyed.
And why?
That will be over.
Because now, with a click of a mouse.
Yeah, with the click of a mouse, prolifeprofiles.com/Romney, which is what Greg Jackson links to, you see that Mitt Romney, he introduced government health care in Massachusetts that puts to shame Obamacare.
Obama's a novice compared to
Romney. That's why Scott Brown said he's going to vote against one of the only things he's going to vote against the Democrats on, right? Hasn't he already said?
No, there's an article today, Bob.
He's already said that don't count on me for a Republican vote.
He told the Associated Press, I told the Republican leaders there are issues when I won't be with you. Now, he did not elaborate on what those issues
as in 90% of the time.
Anything conservative, he's not going to be there.
Democrats don't get excited when they elect conservatives. But Republicans, they just go into a frenzy every time they elect a liberal.
They're just so
proud of themselves.
There's a hint of mental illness there.
So Scott Brown, he's already said, look, don't count on me for conservative Republican votes.
Thanks for electing me, Tea Partiers. You can't count on me.
Don't count on me. But
unbelievable.
He has agreed that he will vote against Obama's health care plan, apparently.
Because why?
It's not as liberal as Mitt Romney's health care plan, and it doesn't pay for elective surgical late-term abortions.
I see.
It doesn't do that, which Mitt Romney's does. And Scott Brown had a hand in crafting and passing Romney Care in Massachusetts. So he's voting against Obama's health care plan because it doesn't pay for abortion.
Scott Brown is a liberal, and he has some standards, unlike the Republican Party in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and unlike the pro-life groups in Massachusetts that tell their donors,
yeah,
Scott Brown is pro-life, except for on his own website, he says, I'm pro-choice.
That's right.
It happened here with the lunatic pro-life leaders in Colorado, Doug. I remember when Senator Hank Brown, he was running for U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And the pro-lifers were all saying, we got to give money to Hank Brown. We got to get him elected. I said, why? He's a liberal. They said, oh, he's pro-life. No, he's not. He's a pro-abort. So he gets to Washington, D.C. There's the Clarence, Clarence Darrow.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
You got Clarence Darrow on your brain.
I do. There's the Clarence Thomas hearings with Anita Hill and all that.
I remember all that.
And they go to Hank Brown, and this is on national TV. And he's asked, well, what's your position on abortion? Chit-chat during the hearings.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
And we were shouting that from the rafters here, that he is a pro-abort. You conservative Christians are so easy to dupe.
Yeah, it's sad.
So they've done it again with Scott Brown.
They've done it again. Yes.
They've done it again. But Mitt Romney now, my prediction,
yeah,
that he will no longer have all those extraordinary evangelical endorsements, they're gone because somebody goes to prolifeprofiles.com/Romney and it's all listed.
Yeah, and they should get there by first going to gregjackson.com and purchasing Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies.
Yeah.
Get that book.
And Sarah Palin's record is also there, prolifeprofiles.com/Palin. Doug, she's never called for abortion to be against the law.
No.
She apparently doesn't believe abortion should be against the law. She is a slippery politician. When they asked her, should the slave trade be ended, Sarah Palin said, in period dress, she said, well, I would never buy a slave. And then the media thought she answered the question.
Yeah.
Then they asked her again in a debate, should the slave trade be ended? And she said, oh, I would never buy a slave. And they said, well, that answers that.
Yes, thank you.
So should abortion be against the law? Well, I would never have one.
She must be 100% pro-life.
She must be.
But you had a bigger prediction, Bob, that no longer will politicians who claim to be pro-life be able to get a pass on this because now, with one click of a mouse, anyone who really wants to educate themselves can get the record.
They're going to be exposed. So if, let's say if, this is a big if.
Okay.
If Focus on the Family were to try to say that Sarah Palin is pro-life, then 10,000 of their donors will, during the course of a campaign, find their way, because people will email them links, they'll see it from Greg Jackson, they'll read it in his next book, they'll find their way to prolifeprofiles.com/Palin, and they will see that even if she is personally pro-life, she wouldn't kill her own child. Even though she's sorely tempted to in her own book.
She thought about it.
More than once.
Yeah.
And not because he had Down syndrome, because it would hurt her career.
Yeah. And because it's legal. So that makes people consider it. It's a viable option because it's not illegal.
I mean, a Christian, a mature Christian woman, a pro-life leader, somebody who thinks they could lead the nation, who knows it's wrong to kill a child. How does that person get tempted repeatedly to kill her child? How?
It's beyond my comprehension.
How? Yeah. It's like Corey Ten Boom of The Hiding Place being tempted. She looks around. There are no Germans anywhere. Her family's not around. She's tempted to kill the Jews in her basement. She's like, nobody would have known I did it.
That's an apt analogy.
I mean, Corey Ten Boom is not going to be tempted to kill the Jews because she's trying to save the Jews because she fears God and she loves her neighbor.
Right.
So here's Sarah Palin supposedly a mature Christian, governor of a state, pro-life leader, and repeatedly, when nobody knows who she is because she's out of town, she's tempted to kill her child, Trig.
That's in her book. She wrote that in her book.
Repeatedly.
You're not making this up.
No. So there's something wrong there. And then when you see that she wants to give condoms to kids in school, and she thinks that creation should not be taught but evolution, that we're animals— And you see over and over again that she promoted benefits to homosexual partners in Alaska and on and on and on. And she put a Planned Parenthood board member on the Alaska Supreme Court.
And she was proud of it.
And said she will make a fabulous judge for the state of Alaska because of her experience and her wisdom.
Yeah.
And she's an unrepentant Planned Parenthood board member. This is what has become of Christian leadership in America. Sarah Palin is the fruit of National Right to Life and Focus on the Family, letting us down and telling us that child killers are pro-life.
And Sarah Palin needs some pastoral counseling.
She needs help.
She needs some significant pastoral
counseling. She needs help. And Doug, where was Focus on the Family when Pat Robertson comes out on CNN and says he can understand China's forced abortion program because they have too many people there?
You couldn't find them with a GPS. They were nowhere to be found.
Why wouldn't they say, why wouldn't they publicly admonish Pat Robertson to repent?
They were observing Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment. Never speak ill of someone who's allegedly a conservative, something like that.
Which, by the way, repeals the first 10. Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, right, thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican, repeals the first 10.
It does.
Because that becomes your ultimate loyalty, partisan politics. And when Billy Graham put in his Christian Workers Handbook that some Christians disagree on abortion and some think it's okay to have an abortion for rape and incest, and if the baby's handicapped, so you can't judge, and who knows, maybe it is okay if the baby's handicapped.
No, say it ain't so, Billy.
Billy Graham's Christian Workers Handbook, where are our Christian leaders coming to Billy Graham as though they loved him? Don't they care about him? And say, Billy, this is wrong. What has happened? Over the years, the morality in his own Christian Workers Handbook began to slide to where he sounds like Planned Parenthood sounded 40 years ago.
Mm. You know, it's as if the Christian conservative community has been conditioned to believe that the worst sin is to rebuke someone. That's the worst.
That's the worst sin.
Yeah.
And it's like an old boys network where if you don't evaluate my morality, I won't evaluate your morality.
Yeah.
And that's the don't judge obsession leads to that. Mm. That's why so many ministries, they throw out all the Bible verses where Jesus teaches us to judge with righteous judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They throw them all out, and they exaggerate and pretend that his cautions to don't judge like a hypocrite, that there are absolute prohibitions against judging at all.
Bizarre. You know,
it's bizarre.
I've made some of the greatest strides in my personal and professional life after a rebuke or a judgment, whether by people or by circumstances.
Great point.
You know?
Great point.
And it stings at first, and you even might not like the person for a little while, but
you appreciate what they've done.
Down the road,
it takes courage for one person to say to another, especially if you care about that person, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah. You're hurting yourself, you're hurting your family, you're hurting God. It's wrong.
Billy Graham, this is wrong to make excuses to kill a baby because he's handicapped. Billy Graham, of all people?
Wow.
And where is National Right to Life in Love talking to Billy Graham? Where's Dr. Dobson? Where's Americans United for Life?
Love has been replaced by some sort of psychiatric evaluation, I think.
Where is the Conference of Catholic Bishops? I mean, Billy Graham, he's not Catholic, is he?
I don't believe he was Catholic.
No. Billy Graham's not Catholic, but the Catholic bishops could have gone to him and said, Billy, we don't kill children because they're handicapped.
Yeah.
Do you know you're starting to sound like a utilitarian? You're starting to sound like a eugenist.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. These children are made in God's image and likeness. You don't make excuses. Pat Robertson, what's wrong with you saying to Larry King on CNN that, well, you might not do it, but you could understand that they have forced abortion in China? You could understand it?
I can't understand it. You know, and if the Christians, if we won't hold each other accountable to the standard that Jesus Christ set, can we expect anything except for our leadership to degenerate into...
To degenerate. That's what's happening. That's
moral
what is
relativism
happening.
And all that.
That's exactly right. And the only thing that really matters is raising money during Republican election primary and general election cycles. That's where they raise their big money.
All right, speaking of election cycles, we are in the final, how many days? Have we checked the countdown calendar for the personhood petition signatures? We need 100,000 signatures. Now, Bob, I want to quickly go to California briefly.
Yeah.
For all of you out there who are carrying petitions, out in California today, in San Francisco, of all places, the potheads out in California who want to legalize marijuana.
The potheads?
The potheads who they don't even get out of bed before 11 o'clock. They submitted 700,000 signatures.
Whoa, they did?
And they
700,000.
700,000 barely legible signatures from other potheads. But they only needed 434. So, I mean, if the
Some
potheads...
Some of the petitions I heard were rolled and singed on the edges. So they...
That's alleged.
All right, yeah, that, yeah.
Anyway, so I just want to encourage our people out there that
if they can do it, we can do it.
If they can do it, surely we can do
it. Doug, Colorado Right to Life got a call today from a leading pro-life activist from out of state who is involved with the anti-personhood leadership in the country. Big time.
An anti-personhood.
She's involved with the anti, you know, how the pro-life movement.
There's plenty of that out there in the pro-life industry.
Yeah, yeah, the groups that are against advocating for the right to life of the unborn. Like National Right to Life. They're literally, they're against advocating for the right to life of an unborn child.
Yeah.
And they're called National Right to Life.
And I need to just
Go figure that.
I need to just recalibrate my
But anyway,
brain.
This woman, it sits on a board of a major, you know, major pro-life group that's against the personhood movement.
Right.
And she called Colorado Right to Life, and she said, I have two children in Colorado, grown children, and they want to help get signatures. Your deadline's approaching. Could we get them signatures ASAP?
Yeah, yeah.
Get
a petition in their hand.
Yeah, ASAP.
Awesome.
And so isn't that exciting?
Bob, I got a phone call. I'm driving around. I don't know, a month and a half ago, I called. I got through to a pastor of a small church. He said, God bless you for what you're doing. Send us a petition. He said, I'll bet everyone in our church will sign it. That was a month ago. He calls me back a day before yesterday. He says, Doug, we filled that one up. He said, and there's a guy in our church who's just on fire for this, and he wants you to send us another one, and he's going to go out, and he's going to fill it up before we get to the deadline.
So a small church.
And in the hinterlands and, out there, but praise the Lord, it's just a movement.
Let me tell you about a suggestion. Let me tell you about a conversation I had at a coffee shop yesterday. Maybe you could tell me one or two of your stories, Doug. With people, when you ask them to sign, I noticed two ladies were sitting, talking, and they were talking about church. And they obviously were Christian.
Yeah.
So I went over, I took the petition. I said, ladies, there's a pro-life petition to get personhood on the ballot. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in signing this. And the one lady was very open and interested. She ended up taking a blank petition with her.
Awesome.
Her friend was, you could tell, annoyed and wanted to stay civil and in control. But I'll tell you what she said, and then we got to figure out her meaning. What she said was, what change would this make in the pro-life behavior of the people in this state?
Okay.
So what she meant was, she wanted to find an excuse to not sign it and to dismiss it.
Right, to basically imply that this wouldn't really make much of a difference.
This wouldn't make any difference because she doesn't want to support it, because she doesn't want to take a stand that it's wrong to kill a child.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, we'd have to interview her, psychoanalyze her. But so she's implying that the pro-life change has to come from the heart.
Uh-huh.
And so that's her little excuse to oppose this.
Yeah.
What change would this make of the pro-life behavior of the people of this state? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, ma'am, it would make the same kind of change as if when blacks were owned as property, if Christians stood up and said, blacks are human beings and deserve the full protection of law.
Some Christians did do that, I do believe.
Some. And it would make the same kind of change as if when Germans were gassing Jews in concentration camps, if Christians stood up and said, Jews are human beings that deserve the protection of law, it would make that kind of change. But back then, most Christians didn't care.
Right. They didn't see the big picture.
Right. And so there's a conversation with this stranger. It lasts about 30 seconds.
Wow.
And now she has to deal with her own compromise in her own heart that for whatever selfish reason, she'd rather ignore the fact that children are being dismembered in abortion clinics.
Wow. Well, I had a conversation with a gentleman, and he was kind of depressed. I asked him if he wanted to sign the pro-life petition, and he said, you know, I've lost my job. He said, I'm about to lose my house, and My wife's out right now trying to find a job.
Wow.
He said, I don't know what I believe anymore.
Oh.
And I said, well, do you believe it's wrong to kill babies? And he said, well, that I believe. And I said, well, help us put it on the ballot that an unborn child is a person that should be protected by love and by law.
Wow.
And a little light went up. His eyes lit up a little bit, and he signed it. And I think he felt a little bit better about
Well, of course he would, right? Because even when you're in despair, when everything is falling apart, when you love your neighbor, when you love God, when you do what's right, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps. It doesn't matter if you're in a communist prison in Romania. Mm. When you do and say what is right and good and true, it helps.
That's right. And he got me praying for him, so that will help.
That will help. Think of the hundreds of thousands of conversations about child killing that have happened in Colorado because of the personhood signature drive.
It's incredible. When you talk about how will this affect people's behavior, and everyone wants to avoid it. They say it's an uncomfortable issue, the issue of abortion. And of course it is. That's because a third of the women in the country of childbearing age have participated,
right?
Which means a third or more of the men. And, and so it is an uncomfortable issue. But by bringing up an issue that forces people to face truth, that there is truth, then the bears fruit. It bears fruit every
day. It does. So let me give the phone number to call to get a blank petition.
Yes.
303-753-9394. That's the phone number for Colorado Right to Life. And if they don't answer, if they're on with other people, just leave your name and phone number. 303-753-9394. And you could go to personhoodcolorado.com. And do the same thing online. Get the information you need.
And if you have a petition in your possession, we need you to send it in. Look at the front page. Yeah. There's an address you can mail it to. You can drop it off, but get it notarized.
Right. We have another. We have another 10 days. So if you have signatures, let's say you have one petition with 15 names.
Yeah.
Or maybe you got it full with 97 names. They hold 97.
They hold,
Get it notarized. You just bring it to a bank. They're very gracious at banks, very helpful.
Sure.
They notarize it. You show them your driver's license. They notarize it and then put it in the mail to Personhood Colorado and ask them to mail you one back.
Yeah.
So let them cross in the mail. You'll get a vacation. You'll get 2 days off.
Yeah.
Two days off without pay.
And finally, if your pastor has not yet circulated the petition, you need to go to your pastor and ask him to circulate the pro-life petition, to allow you.
You've got 10 days.
Yeah, you've got 10 days.
A few thousand more signatures. We have to get a few thousand more signatures. And those of you who are listening right now, if you're in Colorado, you're a registered voter. If you're not, go to register to vote tomorrow.
Get registered.
And call today. Get a petition mailed to you.
Yeah.
And so we've got a week. We got 10 days to get thousands of more signatures.
Thousands and thousands.
That we need.
Thousands.
And we can do it.
All right.
If we work together. All right.
We can do it. Because it's a movement of the Spirit of God, but he needs the body of Christ to be out there on the streets.
Yeah. So, Doug, last thing. So, California, they just voted this week to close all those dispensaries.
Yeah.
Medical marijuana. Not all of them, but the majority in Los Angeles.
Is that right? They're closing.
Yeah, because it turns out everyone with chronic ailments and all, they're all between 18 and 24.
Right. They have chronic depression.
The whole bunch of them.
Yeah, you name it, they've got it.
So they're closing, about 1,000 of those places.
There's more medical marijuana dispensaries in L.A. than there are Starbucks.
But notice that getting high is medical treatment. And killing your baby is medical treatment.
Medical abortion.
And for John
marijuana.
Edwards, killing that child that he impregnated, a woman, he had an affair.
Oh, yeah, John Edwards.
Would that be a medical treatment?
I believe in John Edwards' economy, it would have been a medical treatment.
It could have been.
Treatment.
Yeah, that abortion bill.
Uh-huh.
When they say, Mr. Edwards, what do we do with this abortion bill? He says, pay it. Pay the
Just
thing.
Just pay it.
Just pay it.
So he wanted to kill that baby.
Yeah, he did. Wow. For his career.
Yeah.
Like Sarah Palin wrote in her book.
I wasn't going to bring
for
that
For her career, she thought she wanted to kill Trigg for her career. Then later she found out he was handicapped. Mm. She wanted to kill him again.
She needs some serious pastoral counseling. We need to get her
She
your
needs
number.
Love. She needs help.
She needs, she needs love.
She does not need approval for everything, every drool out of her mouth that I'm pro-life personally, but you could kill the kids even with tax dollars.
So are you,
that's Sarah Palin.
Are you implying,
yes,
Pastor,
no, I'm stating
it
flat out.
Are you implying, Pastor Enyart, that love doesn't mean that you always coddle and agree with someone?
No, especially when they advocate killing children and promoting homosexuality and putting a Planned Parenthood board member on the Alaska Supreme Court and bragging about it as though the Christians are so stupid they won't notice, because they are stupid, but at least a few have noticed.
So if someone really loved her and
they'd
was
warn her.
Concerned for the destiny of her eternal soul.
Mass murderers don't do especially well at the judgment seat of Christ.
No.
Mass murderers don't.
Good point.
So putting Planned Parenthood board members on the Supreme Court, which she would do on the federal Supreme Court for life, and she'd be proud of it, because she's following George Bush and John McCain.
Yeah, her mentors. It's just sad. All right, let's move to a lighter issue.
Lighter.
The Himalayas.
Oh.
The glaciers up there.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this? Now,
oh, yeah.
You know about the debacle in Copenhagen.
The UN. We know about all the emails, the lies that they lied about global warming.
Well, it's snowballing now. The poor folks over at the UN climatologists, they have failed to set a timetable or meet their timetable. Their deadline for reducing carbon emissions has apparently, it's not coming together.
Well, that's funny. The UN scrapped their deadline for cutting carbon emissions.
Yeah.
But they didn't scrap the deadline for cutting the emissions. They scrapped the deadline for stating that they would cut the emissions.
So
they can't even state that they'll cut the emissions.
So, boy, it was so fortuitous that those emails were released right before the big Copenhagen meeting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that blizzard across half the globe didn't hurt either.
The Al Gore effect. Yeah. Wherever there's a global warming meeting, there's a blizzard.
Right. Well, now the UN's top climate change body, the UN body, is now giving an unprecedented apology over their flawed prediction that the Himalayan glaciers were likely to disappear by 2035. They're apologizing and saying that the numbers don't add up.
Now, that's funny, because they got another quarter century before then. They said that the Himalaya glaciers would disappear by 2035.
So they've got a lot of time. Why are they backing off already?
They have a quarter of a century. Why couldn't they just keep with their lie? It's because it's been getting colder for 10 years.
Right, and the glaciers have been getting bigger.
I mean, they have just this serious credibility problem. And Obama last night says, well, some people think that they don't believe the evidence for global warming.
The overwhelming evidence. At which point, half the room laughed.
Half the room laughed.
You could hear it.
You know, Bob and Your Live, we've been on the air for almost 20 years. And from the beginning, we've been mocking global warming and reminding the audience that it's caused by the sun.
To your credit, thank you very much.
Right? 20 years.
The sun.
Of mocking global warming. Thank you, Doug McBurney.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Greg Jackson. Colorado Right to Life and Personhood Colorado, please get a petition. We need your help. Maranatha, may God bless you.